What perversion do you have to start the show this time?
Well, what is your position on merkins in cinema?
Well, I would position it just beneath the crotch line, just above the genitals. That is the position of a merkin.
And aside from the literal position, I feel like this is inequality for men. Because when there's male nudity, yeah, it's there. There's nothing to protect the man's virtue.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I'm the dude.
What is it?
It's the one that said bad motherfucker.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Ah! We're sending you back to the future!
All right, welcome back, you film fanatics, you. I am your host, Nick Drake.
And I'm Jordan Nomore, and this is Flick of the Week, again.
And today...
We didn't get canceled.
We didn't get canceled. We've always been right there. It's hard to do when, you know, there's no supporters or backers. So it's kind of a give and take, a catch-22, if you will. No one to support us or, you know, bring us down in any way.
Yeah. No one to what's the
although he would support? Appreciate some support. Cough, cough. Anyway, we're talking about Knives Out.
Yeah. Knives Out
and all involved.
And directed by Rian Johnson. I'm just kidding. Right? It's like the weirdest spelling of Ryan.
You know, if you said that, I halfway believed that's the way to go because
it looks like it. Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson. Ryan, I don't know.
Who does that to their child?
People in the business. It's
I guess so. Is he born into the biz?
I don't know. I would just think
born
so.
In Maryland.
Based off his name.
No. I'm just reading his bio right now.
Maybe
I wasn't reading it out loud.
Maybe his parents were like a little simple, you know. R-I-N. Ryan Johnson.
That's terrible.
Anyway.
Anyways.
I was just speculating. but no, I actually really appreciate some of his work here. It's very strange because one of his movies is one of my most favorites, and one of his movies is one of my least favorites. And
interesting.
I don't know that any other director has that, for me at least. I was a big fan of Brick, and I was a fan when it came out. Have you seen that one?
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have, actually.
It is like a very, very good... it's almost like a Hardy's Boys, or like just kind of like a teen detective film, but it's very original. And it's like a nobody played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who you may know from Angels in the Outfield. That's my go-to.
Of all of the ones to pick. Oh no, I did watch about half of Brick.
It's pretty good. But he has.
I heard this was inspired by some anime or something.
Cowboy Bebop, I believe. And you can kind of tell it's got maybe you're kind of the guy that maybe go into this a bit more, but it's like, you know, every film. Not every film, but you could tell when films do this, they have a color, and The Matrix is definitely green for a reason. Mm-hmm. This one was blue, all the way through. It was a washout blue color.
Cool tones
and
throughout.
You know, it's weird because you would think a detective film would be, aren't they usually almost more darker, like yellow, like I'm thinking like Chinatown and things like that. And so this one kind of was a little different, but it was like this nerdy dude, and he's trying to like solve a potential murder or missing person for a girl.
It's his ex-girlfriend or his,
well, yeah,
his
ex. You don't know that. Like you kind of feel like, because he was such a nerd, like maybe this was just a girl that was like a fling, and you're like, why is he this invested, you know?
Yeah.
And but you know, it was just such a great thing of its own. Like that's why I was like, wow, I want to be a guy that makes these kind of movies.
See, I couldn't get into it because I'm not a big fan of things that are super detached from like reality, I guess. I lean more towards movies that are I feel like, oh, I could know that person, or that, you know, like some of these characters in this are very much, it's theater, you know.
Yeah.
Like you have this gang of misfits that hang out behind a gas station, and they have a leader, but yet they're still going to school. It just didn't work for me. I don't know.
But
it's not that it was
bad. Okay.
It was not mine.
But that's okay, yeah. Because like even, you know, somebody not liking it, I appreciate that those films are being made, because that leads more for the original film that you do like. It instead of, I mean, there's definitely a place for Pirates of the Caribbean 6, but I need to have films like these, because like other than, like, it's just too sickening. Like I need the break, and like these are the perfect types of breaks that just show you that art can be, or film can be an art film or form, excuse me, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, yeah. So, you know, I was a big fan of that. That was like really his first feature film. He made The Brothers Bloom after that. And you know what's weird is I heard that for Brick, his parents like funded the movie. I was like,
yeah,
your parents funded a movie that Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in? Like, holy crap, man.
Well... He was the only big name. I mean, there was other people that went on to be in some other stuff.
There's this one guy, he's in the beginning of Inception. He's like their partner, and he like dimes them out and, you know, maybe gets killed off screen. We don't know. He was in that movie. Yeah.
But it's not to say that his trajectory back in 2005...
You know, but that's the thing. He
lined up.
It seems like he plays like just about that caliber of character. It's like somebody that's always, you know, kind of there, which, you know, really is the kind of actor a lot of people aspire to be, you know, because, you know, this guy's in like 40 films, you know, compared to the famous guy that might only have one or two, you know, some people would rather have.
Well, he's just a working actor.
Yeah,
there's
a working
lot of
actor
those out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, like, I know this guy, Michael, I can never say his last name. It's T-E-H. I guess you would say it. Teh. It's that like Michael Meh.
The?
But he's a guy that I bump into around town, and he's genuinely a working actor. Like, he was in Sharknado 3. That was like his biggest role, but he's just,
so was,
he's
Jared.
It's
Fogle.
Not a big, but the point is that the guy is always on a set getting paid.
Right.
Like he might be the smallest little talking role that has like one line.
I would love that.
But he's, yeah. And it's like, you got to give him credit. It's like, dang, you know, and that's where I think that this guy that you're talking about, that was the step below Levitt. In that movie, or Levitt.
I wouldn't even mind the step below that. We've been watching a lot of Rocky movies lately because they're on Netflix right now. And there's like the announcer announcing the decision that Apollo Creed wins. Mm-hmm. And like to the left of that guy is like a perfect close-up with him in the frame, of course, the announcer, of this random dude. And but it's like, why the fuck is that guy there? But not only is he in that movie, but they recap the first movie and the second movie. So that guy gets to be like, I'm in two freaking Rocky movies, kids. Like, there's your dad right there. I'm in both Rocky 1 and Rocky 2, and you see my face for like a full 30 seconds. Like, dang. I would be fine with that. Not one line in the movie. I don't even know if he's somebody's friend. I wonder if Stallone could even pick out that guy. But it's like...
He might be, because like almost none of that is by accident.
Even in the 70s, though?
Yeah.
With a low-budget film, that, you know?
If they have... like, at least to my experience so far, it's like when I was doing some extra work recently, there was like me and the other 200 extras of this big scene, but then there's like these 10 extras that are special, and they're not even getting paid. They're just friends of friends that are just like hanging out with the director and stuff. And like when they put together a scene and they're like moving people around, they're like, all right, let's... And they got these people that are kind of not in our little area, and they like get to walk in and just kind of step right in the front. It's like, it's always like that, you know?
That's fine.
There's always something where everyone's... It's like, that's why it comes down to the phrase, like, it's about who you know, you know?
That's the thing. I'm fine with that, though. I'll be the cousin's friend that, you know...
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Like, and then there... I wonder if that guy had to get paid twice to use his, because they couldn't use it without
royalties.
It, right?
They'd probably get royalties, maybe. I don't know, but I don't know how it breaks down for extras with non-speaking roles. I don't think they get anything.
How do you think royalties work, or do you already know? Maybe because, like, people can't live off them forever, right? Or can they?
It dwindles out, but I mean, like the bigger ones. So, like my friend Ellis does. Music, you know, he does music production for all sorts of things, and one of the biggest ones that he continuously makes money from, I mean, he gets royalty checks from, he's done records with like big artists. I don't want to name too many, or maybe I should. I don't want to put all these names out there, but it's like, I think he worked with like Sia, and he worked with Miley Cyrus, and like some other big artists, Diplo or something.
Artists that, I don't know if that one's correct, show their butts. Anyway.
Yes. But no, the big one is RuPaul. He worked with RuPaul on that show, Drag Race. And that, it's like the show, I don't even know if it's still on. I honestly don't watch like broadcast television. Well, it's not like drag racing cars. It's like,
I know like what I just...
Do you know who RuPaul is?
I do know who RuPaul is, but anyway.
Well, you said drag races.
Right. Well, isn't like a drag race the same thing as a drag show?
Yeah. Well, the play on words for RuPaul's Drag Race is different than... Or it's a play on
I'm
words.
I'm aware.
Kind of, I think.
I'm just, but you made it seem like you were like avoiding drag races instead of the shows.
No.
Okay. You'll go to a drag race.
You just put that in your head.
Okay. You're not above that.
I am above this. I live on a second story apartment. I'm above it all. No. The point is that he... I don't know if that show's still on.
It was,
but
like
he
on a
still
long
makes.
Time ago, I thought.
Yeah, but he still makes royalties
off that. Wow,
it's off that. Yeah, like good amounts of money per month from that one, like one big song that is in multiple episodes of the show.
But so like you're an actor, and like let's just pretend it's Demolition Man. I'm Stallone. Demolition Man is on every year on TNT for some reason. And so like, am I getting royalties off that, or does the company pay me my fee and that's it?
Well, I mean, I let's kind of reverse engineer this. This is to the best of my knowledge is that a network, even like Netflix now, which is, you could consider it a network since they stream it instead of broadcast.
Right.
They buy the rights for a time frame. That's why movies like come and go from Netflix. Same thing with television. I think they buy a like a multi-month or they buy year packages, and that's when you get royalty from those artists. They'll get royalty checks like that. Or I'm assuming maybe the station or the broadcast network would buy the royal or buy the rights to play it for a certain amount of time, and from the production company that owns the property, and then the production company then divvies out those checks on an even basis, because there's probably multiple platforms that are buying rights at multiple times. If that makes sense.
It does. The thing that gets me is like the math behind it, because if you're somebody that's on TV all the time with your reruns and like something consistent, like that's why I brought up Demolition Man. Like, how do actors like go broke? Like, you know, even if they're not at working anymore, like I see them 7 times a year on TV, like no matter what.
Yeah. Well, it just comes down to, I would assume that like Nick Cage's version of broke is different than like you or I being broke. It's when he's broke, it means that like,
well, like
he's not able to pay his bills of the normal life that he lives for the foreseeable future. Well, he's just, his accountant is saying this to him.
Well, here's what I'm coming from. Like, you know, I get that, but like Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, and those movies are on all the damn time. They found him living in a dumpster.
Oh,
like,
really?
Where the fuck was all his money? Like, they should have been coming in no matter what, like to the point where you could afford, you know, an apartment if that's the case.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm just going to do like a little brainstorm dissection of this. So say that Ralph Macchio takes home a royalty percentage from The Karate Kid, say the first movie, which is probably the most prominently rerun movie.
Mm-hmm.
He takes home 10%, which is huge. Think it'd probably be that's a huge number off of an entire project, assuming that there's all these other people like musicians and director, producer, cinematographer that also get royalties of smaller value than the star. The 10% of the royalties, and so say the network, because that movie's really old, the network might be able to buy the rights to that movie to run it on TV for a whole year for something like, $5,000.
Okay.
So what's, you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
What's 10% of $5,000? Well, it's $500.
And while you're
right?
saying that, I was just thinking like maybe somebody gets in like so much debt that they sign over all their royalties. Right?
You could do that, but also you're forgetting that the royalties, it's you get 10%, but then your agent gets 10% of that. It's called Hollywood,
right.
Hollywood accounting.
Okay.
It's not really as much money. The big money comes initially. And then those royalty checks, that's why people want to be in a ton of things. But if you're like, that money will dwindle over the years, you know, like I'm sure royalty checks for the Karate Kid in the 90s were huge.
I would be like Seth Rogen, like in the Knocked Up, like, you know, I got $20,000 coming in, so that's like 5-6 years. Make it work.
Oh my god.
Anyway, Knives Out.
Yeah, let's 22 minutes of banter. Let's get into Knives Out.
I thought
it
was fairly, you know, eye-opening. Oh, maybe not so what we wanted to open eyes to, but
yeah. Well, have you seen Knives Out?
I have not seen it yet. I will by the time it's not out yet. We're recording this in the past.
What?
Yeah, comes out Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. I guess it's again one of those confusing moments where I've met people out here that have already seen it and loved it. I'm like, wait a second. But I guess, yeah, it's not out yet. All right,
yeah,
never mind.
So
it's Hollywood.
The thing
fuckers.
Is, the flick of the week is, you know, we'd like to be on the level where people send us in videos and what do you call them? what's the official word like for that? The package that you get of the early movie? The screenings.
Oh,
yeah.
Screener.
Yeah, the screeners. Yeah. Screeners, but we're not there yet, so we can still have a engaging conversation, you know, about what's to come.
I would argue that these episodes, since we rebooted the show and started talking about from the angle of speculative, I think that the show's gotten more interesting.
I think so too, because
like
sometimes
episodes
it comes
where
true.
We rushed to, yeah. it's essentially like we're like the like an NFL show, just like, I don't know, talking about you know, the players and the, you know, the stats.
Yeah.
And
well, like a couple of John Maddens,
seeing if
here.
It comes true. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or, well, I'm going to be, what's his name? Harry Carey.
Well, I'll be Howie Long. Harry Carey. If the moon was made of cheese, would you eat it?
Hey! If the moon was made of cheese. Yeah, I can't do it. I can do the head wobble, though. If you guys can only
you
see
got the
me.
Glasses.
Yeah, I got the big glasses.
Anywho.
Knives Out.
Ryan Johnson. let's talk about the people attached to this movie. It was a big, big cast. And I'm guessing, I would think, oh, and before I say that, the least favorite film was The Last Jedi. I really thought that was like the worst Star Wars ever. I don't,
yeah.
I mean, maybe he wants to be there. I don't know. I'm not going to shit on anybody's aspirations. I just think he does a lot better, and he crafts with the FT. way better art. That was completely unintentional. With a lower budget movie, and, you know, with a little more control, and something that so many people aren't having their hopes up for. They have the element of surprise when it comes to these kind of films. And I'm thinking, like, that big cast probably knows this guy a bit more from Brick than Star Wars, or probably would want to be a part of that, because he's made some great, he made Looper too, you know, he's made like these really cool choices and these original kind of ideas that a lot of other directors don't partake in.
Well, you know, I guess you are kind of right. So the box office, the budget, estimated budget of this movie is 40 million. So it's a lot less than 200 million, which is the standard.
I think that's pretty small. If you look at the cast, you got, you got Captain America, you got James Bond, you got Laurie from Halloween, you got freaking the dad from Sound of Music. I'm just trying to see if I could do this
Michael
for everybody.
Shannon.
Damn it! And Michael Shannon. I would have said Zod. Didn't you see the path
Zod,
I was going
yeah,
on here?
Yes, and I had to throw Michael some Shannon. You know, dirt on the fire.
And you got what's the one?
Miami Vice.
Miami Vice. There you go. See,
Johnson.
See what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
Crockett.
You have what is that guy, that the dude from Get Out? The only guy that's memorable from the trailer of Get Out. It's just like,
oh, is that where that guy's from? You're right.
He's the one who has the title line of the movie.
I couldn't put my finger on it. I was like, he looks so familiar, and I didn't want to look him up, and I was like, I think I could figure it out, and you figured it out for me. Thank you.
Keith Stanfield.
No, what's the Garfunkel and Oates is in it. One of them. She was in the Under the Silver Lake as well. She's the girlfriend that's always dressed up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's hilarious on that show. If you haven't seen it, you should watch that.
I have not
seen
it.
Kate Micucci. It's just like, it's like, what's that one from HBO? That the sing-songy show.
Sing-songy
the
show?
The only fucking one with
Glee?
No, on HBO, Jordan.
Glee coming to HBO this summer.
Wow, that'd be a different version of Glee, I'll tell you what. No, the Concords, Flight of the Concords. It's like a female version of that, and it's so funny. It's like, you know, I wouldn't say it's a ripoff of that. It's just kind of on those lines. It's like two musicians that are, it's a comedy, and they bring music into the show as well. But yeah, the blonde one from that.
And they get, we got Yoda.
Do we have Yoda for real?
Yeah, he's the lawyer.
No kidding.
Or he's the what would you call it? The proprietor of the
Frank Oz?
Frank Oz.
No shit. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in the trailer, dude. Did you watch the trailer?
I watched the first one. I don't remember him in that one.
Directed by Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson.
But yeah, it looks like a well, I don't know. United States of Terra, right? Toni Collette.
Oh.
She was in Hereditary, right? There you go. You know her.
Yeah.
Headless body floater.
She was the mom, right?
That was such a creepy part. The friggin' headless body floating up into a treehouse. I was like, oh, that is cool. Like, I don't care about the rest of the
dark.
I mean, but like, they didn't make it look stupid. It looked like legit. I was like, what the Any other movie that would just look retarded, like, oh, that's a doll, but you're like, that's a floating headless body going into a treehouse.
Yeah,
I don't want to go play in that treehouse. But
Knives Out,
Knives Out, huge cast for, you know, for something like that. You got Daniel Craig with, you know, clearly an accent. He's definitely expressed that, you know,
I love his accent in this. I suspect foul play.
It's like, it reminds me of that Office episode where they play that game where they all have to have southern,
like a murder mystery.
Yeah, and what's his name?
Michael Scott.
No, the one who dresses like Easter all the time. What's his name? Andy. He's like, it's like you got molasses coming out of your mouth.
I wonder how this played out. Like, they call up Daniel Craig and they're like, we want you to do this, you know, this movie, and we want you to be the detective. And he's like, fine, I'll be the detective, but, you know, I just don't have to, I can't have a British accent. I want to have, I want to be a southern gentleman.
I'm sure that's probably because he's expressed, like, he likes James Bond, but in the middle of James Bond, it's like so exhausting for him. And he's like, I don't want to be known for just James Bond. I want to do other projects. And
well, I loved him in Logan Lucky.
I did too.
And what's that one that got him the James Bond role? It's
Layer
called,
Cake.
Layer Cake. Yeah.
That's a good
He's great.
Movie.
You guys got range, and he will. You know, they'll get another Bond, and then he'll.
This is the last Bond.
His life's not over.
This is the supposed. They said he said that he'd rather cut his wrists after somebody asked him, and he's like, "Well, they asked me like right after the movie, like you know what I mean, like." Already they're talking about another sequel, and he's like, I want to do some other movies first. Give me a minute. That's what I meant to say, but I said that instead.
Yeah.
So,
dang.
But yeah, I am very interested in seeing this film. I think between this and Star Wars, I can't think of any other movies that I'm like, I really want to go to the theater to see this movie for the rest of this year.
This just seems... I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to see this too. I have my reservations, but the big thing I just I was doing a little research before we recorded on Rotten Tomatoes. This seems rigged.
What?
The tomato meter and the audience score both 96.
I don't pay attention to tomato. Tomato's stupid. It's not worth any time. I don't care what anybody says. When they shit on Batman versus Superman, when it was a perfectly fine movie, and they're like, it has a 20% on Rotten Tomato, and then when other people called them out on it, and they changed their minds, I was like, you guys have no fucking credibility. I wouldn't pay attention to you for the rest of my life, and I haven't. So, there you go.
Well, I don't know. I just it seems rigged.
It is rigged.
The numbers,
their whole thing is rigged.
Exactly the same.
When you can just change your mind on a movie, how it's supposed to be? Like what basis is this off of? Just what you think the audience will think that they like? Like what the that doesn't make any sense. It's like you're supposed to be rating it off of some sort of critique basis, not popularity. And the audience meter is supposed to be the popularity part.
Yeah.
Like, do your jobs. You know, if you're gonna you're gonna say that we're a media company dedicated to this, and then be completely worthless and uncredible, what the fuck are you for?
Yeah,
I have some feelings about it. So. I'm not bitter about it or anything, but I thought Batman vs. Superman was like, I was like, no, I mean, you have your opinion, but there's no way it is lower than, you know, some bullshit horror movie you've never heard about. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, that was, yeah. Well, I mean,
they're like, really, this is worse than Superman, Son of the Mask? Really? No, it's not. It's way more enjoyable. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
Well, so Knives Out, ensemble movie. Great.
So far.
Let's talk about some other ensemble movies.
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, before we go into that, that this is Rian Johnson coming back into where he's strong at. And that's why I have some big hopes. That's really where, and I'm like, plus he's got the cast to back it up, where, like you were saying, like Brick didn't have that. And maybe it would have been more captivating with better actors, you know, who knows? Because it did make things seem kind of, you know, sour at times. I felt like it was fine because it's like high school kids you don't know, like you, like in high school. But this movie, I think, will shine. Ensemble movies, though.
Well, I pulled up a list, but the big one that comes to mind that is on this list, ironically, is Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay.
It's so classic. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. Brass Balls.
And then, Brass Balls. But then, you know, you got your classics. I mean, ensemble, well, Boogie Nights. Bunch of people in that.
I mean, just like star-studded casts.
Well, it's,
or like, you know, it's the there's like a group of people that are definitely tied together, not just characters kind of coming out of the woodwork.
I would say that both of those genuinely are ensemble. Like, it's not even about that they're all stars, but they are all big stars as well, which is kind of the case for Knives Out.
Well, like 12 Angry Men had like two famous actors in it, but it was definitely an ensemble thing because like they're all in this together.
Every character, you know, needed their part.
Rat Race has a ton of stars in it, you know, that's an ensemble thing. So that's, I was just trying to.
Ocean's 11.
You know, they should make an all female cast version. You see the, what was it? Between Two Ferns. Like, wait, there is. It's called Ocean's 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching Sunny in Philadelphia, and she tried to do an all female thing of the Wade Boggs episode. Oh my God, I was dying. Have you seen that episode yet?
No.
Oh man, you'll.
Is it the newest season?
Yes, it's the newest season. And so she tries to do it again on a female flight. And they're like, well, why don't we just do our own thing? She's like, no, we have to do it better than the men. And they're like, we have to change just a couple things. We're going to do it all with wine. And it's just like so silly. It was clearly a poke fun at like Ocean's 8, though, I think, or whatever, you know. What were you going to say for ensemble cast, though? Do you have, like, favorites, or?
You know, I can't say that I have a favorite. Deliverance count? I really do like the concept.
What do you think is the number? Do you have to have more than four?
It's got to be five. It's got to be five. Yeah. At least five, like, pivotal characters. Because four, that's any fucking movie. Really.
I think three is any other movie. Four is, like, you know, that's kind of a lot. That's a lot of main characters. Inception is kind of like that, right?
Well, I mean, so you wouldn't say that When Harry Met Sally was an ensemble, would you?
But
it's four. That's minimum four people already.
I know, but like they're not four in the same goal. Like you're just thinking of the main two.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like
I guess if you're gonna the Dirty Dozen,
they're all for the same ending. They're all there for the objective of the film.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I'd stick with five.
Okay, fine. Five is fine. like Dumb and Dumber, double stamped.
Well, so you know, Pulp Fiction, kind of, but they're not after the same goal. It's just five. It's just multi, like mini stories, and they all kind of correlate.
So well, they're helping them each other out, even though they don't know it, though. So I feel like that kind of counts. Yeah. But like, Cool Hand Luke, Henry Dean Stanton, you got Paul Newman, you got George Kennedy, you got like a bunch of people, but there's no way that's an ensemble movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what let me Google
it. I think they just have to all drive the story initially, maybe. Like, they can't be showing up in the movie. You can't meet this character later and, you know, count it as an ensemble.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, you know, this family, and there you go.
Okay, so the official Wikipedia definition.
Oh wait, so then that means me and you get to change this. Me and you, because it's Wikipedia.
We
get to make the rules.
We should. It's the Wild West, people. We get to make the rules.
That's right. I think we should do that. No. We're pioneers, people. Saddle up.
Yeah, I would say that they should specify a number, but this says, in a dramatic production, an ensemble cast is one which comprises multiple principal actors and performers who are typically assigned roughly equal amounts of screen time. Yeah. Well, then that would make fucking When Harry Met Sally. Because, I mean, you do see, I mean, it's about Harry and Sally, but you see their respective friends a lot in those movies, like a lot. They have a lot of lines, because they're dictating those characters' opinions and thoughts by comparison.
I disagree. I think you could have a star-studded cast, and then you can have an ensemble piece. And I think me and you can write the book on this. It's got to be five or more characters, because that's stupid. Because, you know, it could be five different people in an anthology movie. Like, I don't know, fucking, what's that one Paris movie that everybody freaking loves? Paris Je Te Vis or whatever, where it has, like, Willem Dafoe in one part, and, you know, the bad guy from Zorro 2 in another part, and they all share equal screen time, but that's not an ensemble movie. That doesn't make any sense. They have to all be joined, I think, is what's missing in that definition, and it doesn't need to be dramatic. It could be comedic, yeah. So eat a dick, Wikipedia. Dickipedia is what you should call yourself. Anyway. Oh,
don't put ideas in people's minds.
I thought you were going to say mouths in a minute.
Don't put ideas in people's mouths. What?
You put that idea in my mouth. Quit putting ideas in my mouth. No, but it doesn't.
Is that what you're calling it?
You wouldn't
days?
Agree with that. Like, they have to join together. Like, it just because, like, Ocean's 11. Yeah, that makes sense. But if you just have five different people sharing the same screen time, and they're not,
I would say so. Let's make a. It doesn't have to be a specific number, but here's an interesting footnote that might make this.
It's
make
gotta
sense.
Be at least a specific.
It has to be
number, right. Can't be two.
No, yeah, you're right. So five or more, but they have to, the more important part of that is that they have to share equal screen time,
connection.
But also have equal weight to the plot. Like if you pull one character out of the story, does the story work anymore? You know? That's what makes it an ensemble. It's like if you pulled the detective from Knives Out, then all of a sudden the story doesn't work because he's a pivotal part. If you pull, you know, the I don't know.
But you know,
never mind.
Like Mallrats, right? You got Jason London, you got Jason Lee, you got Jay and Silent Bob, you got Ben Affleck, you got Joey Lauren Adams, and somewhere in there they're pretty close, except for maybe Jason Lee. That's not an ensemble movie, though. You know what I mean? It's a star-studded cast. There's a big difference. They have to be more than just connected. They like you're saying, they have to be serving the same plot, I believe. That's Reservoir Dogs. They're after the same thing.
Yeah, that's an ensemble, you know? Definitely.
I think there's a big difference, and there should be, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong with it that you're not an ensemble. Like, that's just not the movie it is. Wikipedia got it wrong. Sorry.
Verdict is
out. Why you're not in the encyclopedia, Wikipedia. Cause
we're changing history, people.
Movie history.
With this episode.
You heard it here.
You hear that? Ensembles. Five or more, and they have to play a pivotal role in the plot.
And serve each other.
And serve each other.
That's what we're... That, that's good. Anywho. But no, they really do need to, I think, feed the other characters is where that is. And in a specific way. And Knives Out does that, I believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, so far the trailers look so fucking entertaining. So if the movie's even half as entertaining as the trailers, I'm assuming it'll be really good.
Well, you know, I would like to cut this episode here because I feel like we have created such a pulpy episode. And I think our 45-minute mark is like where we hit our stride. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like it doesn't give us 15 minutes of just... I feel like that's engaging. So for the future of this show, I would like to make that, you know, somewhat of a palatable episode like this.
Yeah. I like
it. Okay. Next week we're talking about Christmas or holiday movies, I should say. You can't say Christmas. People will think you're insensitive. Jesus, Jordan.
No, we can't. We just released the holiday movies one.
No, this week would be Knives Out, right?
No, I released it last night.
Oh.
Dummy.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yesterday. That's why I asked you that. Oh, people. I'm leaving this in.
That wasn't the way it was in the schedule.
I noticed that.
Well, if you noticed it, why didn't you... Nick, I noticed the schedule.
We didn't have another episode.
This was it.
I was supposed to put this out late? Not on a Saturday?
Well, the movie didn't come out yet. That's why it would have been fine.
Well, lives are ruined. We're putting this one out on Wednesday.
All right. No, put it out on the weekend after the movie comes out. That's fine. That's how it should be.
Well, no one's...
Double stamped. Yeah.
Double stamped.
All right. Join us next week, then. Why didn't you... You could have stopped me before I went into the whole embarrassing myself thing. Thanks a lot. next week.
How was I to know what you were going to say?
You, like, when I was saying it, you could be like, put a finger up, like, hold on. Like, all right, next week will be Jumanji 2.
And that is correct.
And we'll release it on time.
Shit.
Okay. All right.
Well. I guess we'll, you know, that's a perfect summation of what we do here. We argue.
You know, if you want, like, professional TV, stick with CNN.
You want fake news? Well, you tune into us, because we're going to give you a lot of fake news.
Hey, at least we're unique in our own thing.
Yeah. Unique New York.
All right. End it there.